Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name of Rose Butter.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
That's so fun.
Stay tuned.
Go, it's episode 119 of the Piffles Podcast. That is the Johnny McKeag Band with Here We Go, and we have a lot to talk about this week. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg,
and we are your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast, the Piffles Podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You'll find me at Safamud.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check out Instagram, just search Piffles Pod, and of course the website, piffles podcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out the great happy hour drink specials, half price Monday to Friday, and the summer blizzard menu out right now, so make sure you check out Dairy Queen. So I don't want to beat around the bush here. We got pretty important stuff to talk about, so let's get right to it. Time for the opening kickoff. So, Riders lose their season opener 23-17 to the Ticats in what actually I thought was a pretty competitive game, all things considering. And that all starts with, what, the third play of the game?
The thing that ruined my CFL fantasy this week?
Mine, boom. Too. 0.1 points.
0.7, actually.
Was it 0.7?
It was 0.7.
Yeah, 7 yards. Yeah, one carry for 7 yards. Yeah. Zach Caleros, third play of the game. Quarterback draw, wasn't designed, had to scramble out of the pocket and went up, got 7 yards. Slid. And we've all seen it, got a brutal, blatant headshot laid to him by Simone Lawrence.
Well, if he didn't try to juke him, he would have been fine.
What a garbage response from Simone Lawrence. His BS apology.
I'm super sorry.
I'm super sorry. What is super sorry? Is that sorry with a cape? That was the best tweet I saw, but that was actually pretty funny. But the remnants of that, and we'll talk about the game in just a second here, but found out on Sunday, Zach Caleros, 6-game injured list. We kind of all saw that coming once he got hit. We're like, that's it. His season's probably done. Is this it for Zach Caleros for the season, or is this like a career thing now?
It should be a career thing. I mean, we're talking about 4 concussions now in 12 months. He's got to think about life after football.
I'm sure if you go back, we're all on the record after last season saying it's probably best for Zach's future if he just walks away at this point, because unfortunately, these concussions aren't going away, and they keep on coming back. And yeah, Simone caught him with a cheap shot, but it wasn't, like, he didn't get lit up. Like, he didn't get
I don't know. You know what? That was a pretty bad hit.
I think
that would have given anybody a concussion.
That's
it. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, they're supposed to take him to the sideline, do the concussion protocol on the sideline. If they need to go to the quiet room, they go to the quiet room. They took him directly, like, they did not pass go. They did not collect $200. They took him directly to the thing. Took his equipment off and said he's on the 6th game.
Yep. And well, that's the right response. We looked at what happened last year. He took the concussion in preseason, didn't tell anybody, takes a hit in the early season, and we were out without a quarterback for a while. It's better for him to go right to that 6th game because you can pull him off and let him rest. But I really hope he does not come back from a 4th concussion. It's just... Somebody's got to have that talk with him.
Maybe that has to be his new wife. It's just, like you said, you got to look at your post-football career, and he's 30 years old. He's still young. He's just hitting, what seems to be quarterback prime age. But with all these injuries, do you want your wife to be pushing you around in a chair all day? Like it's just...
It's hard for a guy to give up $400,000 a year because your body says you can't do it anymore. But
tell any athlete it's time to hang them up, right? Not one of them is going to be
open to that discussion.
Right? Like it's a very hard thing for these guys to admit when it's over, right? But something like this, it's go into coaching. I'm sure you can get coaching in the States and make basically the same amount of money as you're getting paid to be a quarterback in the CFL. Probably better at a Div 2 school, or go back to Cincinnati and go there, or whatever the case is. But it's time for Zach Caleros to move on from playing football, and it's time for the Riders to move on for him. 6-game home for the rest of the season, put him on there 3 times. don't bring him back. I don't care if he thinks he's okay or he passes whatever protocol. No, it's time to move on. And they have to look and see what they have with Cody Fajardo and Isaac Harker. And that kind of brings me to the next point. Before we get back to Simone Lawrence, Isaac Harker or Cody Fajardo?
Do you want my honest opinion or what the team is going to do? Because Fajardo was running the first team offense, but I think at this point the team needs to really take a serious look at what Harker did and roll with the guy. I mean, Fajardo did nothing in his, what, two quarters of game. He didn't look good. He looked hesitant. Harker went in there and said, screw it, I'm taking over.
And that's and the TSN crew is kind of pointing that out because he was throwing right at Dalvin Bro. Yep. Like right at him.
He doesn't know any better.
Yeah, good. I like that better. I like the aggression. I like his competitive nature.
And he was on the money with some of those passes. Like tight windows, perfect ball, couple of missteps, but it's his first career professional game. What's going to happen?
And the thing that impressed me the most was that Hail Mary. That was 60 yards in the air into the end zone, and if it wasn't for the receivers jumping up instead of forward like you're supposed to on a play like that, and of course Simone Lawrence gets it, of all people.
No, that was Daly.
Simone got the first.
Yeah, he got the pick that more or less sealed the game.
Right. The kid's got arm strength and he's got balls, so let's see what he can do.
It's going to be Cody Fajardo that's going to get the first crack, and it should be because you named him your backup quarterback to start the season. He's your number two guy, and now by default, he's your number one. I don't think the leash on him is going to be very long, because if he goes two quarters and we're sitting at 3-6 points against Ottawa here, then the hell with it. Put the kid in. Let's see what he can do. And I saw a comment, I forget who it was by, but if you were to go with Harker, and like, would that ruin him? Would that potentially ruin him? Well, maybe.
Ask Montreal.
But at the same time, you got to know what you're going to have. And if you're going to make the move to Harker, whoever they go with, Fajardo, Harker, doesn't matter. That's got to be your guy. You have to make that decision and ride with it.
Not like we saw last year where you were bouncing back and forth between Bridge and Watford trying to find the guy.
It could be like 2008 when, remember when Marcus Crandall got hurt? And then we had kind of an open competition between backup quarterbacks.
I mean, that worked out well in the end.
I wouldn't really call that an open competition. They kept on trying to force Giles into the square peg of Giles into the round hole until Darian basically said, it's my team, go away.
Oh, Stephen Giles, the gift that keeps on giving.
I wonder what Michael Bishop is up to nowadays.
I forgot about that move, too.
We're only 2 years removed from Kerry Joseph starting a game. Could always call him back.
Five.
Is it that long?
2014.
Oh, man, why did I think it was 2017?
Maybe Fajardo's the guy that can lead us to the Grey Cup, since he prevented it happening once already. Ryder's also signing Brian Bennett, who was with the team in late 2016, was one of the training camp cuts in 2017, spent all of last year as the third stringer in Winnipeg. So it's a guy who kind of knows a little bit of the system. I mean, it's not like the handing the ball off and throwing a hitch screen is very complicated of a system to run. But this is a guy who knows what he's getting into, and we'll see what happens there, but he signed it to the third.
Have they called you yet? You are a championship-winning quarterback.
I am, yes. No, my playing, I can admit to myself, my playing days are over.
Got a quick question for you. If Harker gets in the Ottawa game, what are the over-under on Harker jerseys opening day in Canada?
I'm surprised I haven't seen any yet.
I'll get one. Just kidding, no I won't. Well, not at $135 for a blank jersey.
At least we know that Steve, if you ever got a Harker jersey, that he's not going to pan out, so they can just move on right after that.
Hey, it worked for Corey Sheets and Weston Dressler.
That's true. It
just nothing since.
Keith Costa. Corey Williams. Who else was there?
Those were the two. And then Tristan Jackson, I got his game-worn jersey, and he got cut.
Yeah.
I got a jersey of Rob Bagg, and he got cut. That was the one where I knew it was time to
stop.
Yeah.
So let's go back to this headshot on Simone Lawrence.
Do we have a the button that overwrites swears?
Yeah. Beep?
Yeah.
I could make one.
We might need one.
That's a lot of editing.
We might need one today.
Do we throw up a disclaimer? Say you will hear some swears?
You may hear some bad language tonight.
We obviously know that the hit was bad. Let's talk punishment. What is the appropriate punishment? We know that the league has, I mean, their hands are kind of tied as to what they can actually give out as a suspension, as a fine to these players, and that's already agreed in the CBA. But at the same time, the league needs to, maybe this is something, I guess they can't do it now for a few years, but in the next CBA, they need to say, if something like this happens, more than one game. Because Simone Lawrence will probably get a one-game suspension, and
he'll appeal it.
That'll be appealed, and he'll play. And that'll be it. He'll lose his max fine, which is, what, half a game check? Ooh, big deal.
I guarantee you any team was lining up to knock a starting quarterback out for half a game check.
And I like some of the things that I've been hearing, like, take that fine, have that apply against the salary cap, and don't pay the player. So he doesn't get that, but that money goes against the salary cap. Give it to the Riders. That can count towards their salary cap, so they get an extra $75,000 or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So it would hurt the team, and that would actually punish the team. Because right now, you take a 25-yard penalty, which is what this is, and I guarantee you that, and you probably won't hear it in public, but coaches are saying to their player, that guy has a history, take him out, take the 25-yard penalty. I'll take my chances against a backup quarterback for 55 minutes of a game against my number ones. We will win. Even if you give them the 25 yards and they score a touchdown like the Riders did on that drive, I'll take my chances every single time.
Who wouldn't?
Why not take the guy out? There's no incentive to not.
Well, and the worst part is any kind of suspension type issue never actually benefits the team that gets hurt. The Riders will never see a benefit out of Simone Lawrence getting suspended. Why not take those suspensions against the team that he actually hit? I'd like to see that one day, where if you attack a guy in a Riders-Ticats game and you're suspended for two games, you're suspended for the next two times you play that team.
Technically speaking, I think any 25-yard penalty should be an automatic ejection.
Absolutely.
Anyway. Yeah. And the league came out and apologized and said, "Oh, he should have been ejected." And, well, that's a little too late now.
What the hell is the command center for, if not to pull the guy off the field there?
Remember, they clarified it.
Yeah, they're the ones that upped it to a 25-yard penalty.
I know. Like, it's just,
so they knew it was egregious enough that he deserved that penalty. Get him the hell off the field. Instead, he made what, six tackles, an interception, a sack. I mean, he had a major factor in a game he should not have been in a one-score football game. Do better. That's garbage.
So, and that brings me to, I guess, my article that I posted right after the game on Friday morning was the league does not care about player safety. If they did, this wouldn't happen. And you have to make those concessions. You have to be able to suspend a guy for four games. I mean, four games in the CFL, that's 25%, almost 25% of your season. That's like suspending a guy 20 games in the NHL. That's a big time suspension.
Do it. And the hits will stop.
And without pay, and these guys don't get paid that much to begin with. That's a big loss for a guy.
That brings me to one point that I've seen on, I don't know if it was on Facebook or where, but I saw somebody comment that, well, these guys don't make enough. They can't really afford the suspension. Then don't hit the guy. It's as simple as that. You don't want to pay the crime or pay the punishment? Don't do the crime. That's not a valid argument for not suspending a guy for a lengthy amount of games.
And this has always been the folly of a players' union when it comes to stuff like this. Because they're there to protect the players. But which player do they need to protect? The guy getting suspended or the guy who's going to, possibly his career going to be over?
But he's still going to get the rest of his pay for the rest of the year.
And that's where the problem is. So, yeah, they're protecting the wallet, but not the actual player's health. So this is also a PA issue that always kind of gets glossed over, saying, oh, it's the league needs to do it. The Players Association is just as culpable in this, in my mind.
But they'll always go after, protect the guy's paycheck, because they get money out of that paycheck. Why wouldn't they? They want to see their guys get paid. Well, I'd like to see their guys survive to their 50s and 60s, but that's just me.
I guarantee you won't miss any time.
And you know the worst part? It didn't change a damn thing. All this discussion over the last 2 days. Last night, Corey Greenwood laid out, was it Madu with Ottawa on and another helmet-to-helmet shot, just as bad.
As well.
And right?
He should be suspended. Yep. Same thing as well. Yep.
And there's no talk on that one. I've seen a couple of, I think it was Josh with the Potsky Wee Wee that was going off on that one. And, I mean, I get it. He's having to defend his guy. And not that he was defending the hit, but the outrage. And then he sees this hit and nobody's talking about it. Any hit like that should be an instant suspension. I don't care if it's the quarterback, the third string kicker, it doesn't matter. Headshots are gone.
Yeah, that's the stuff they need to take out of the league and out of sports.
Then maybe you need to do the college rule. Guy goes down, that's where the play stops. Because all they always say, well, like, he's going to get up and run.
Well, that is the rule.
I know. No.
For quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about mainly the Madu.
If any player gives himself up. Right now, the play's not dead. Let's say if the running back just
trips. If you slide feet first, the play's dead no matter who it is.
But let's say you trip.
Yep.
You're running, nobody touches you, you trip. Plays dead in the yep. in college. Yep. You go up for a catch, you jump and land your knees down. It's over.
Yep.
Maybe that's something that they have to look at.
Whatever it takes to get these kind of hits out of the game. Until we stop seeing them, I agree with you. CFL doesn't care.
And what's it going to take? Is it going to take this happening to Mike Riley? Is this going to take? Well, is it going to take this happening to Bo Levi Mitchell?
Ask Eskimo fans last year. Riley took a bunch of headshots that went uncalled for some reason. It doesn't matter who the name is. They want to sweep it under the rug. They don't want this huge discussion. They don't want to have to suspend a guy for 3 games. They want it to go away.
When it's 3 straight games, non-preseason games, that the Riders quarterback has been blatantly targeted in the head, twice being Zach Kolaros and the other one being Brandon Bridge, this is just getting ridiculous and it's out of hand. It has to stop. So, Randy Ambrosi, this is on you. This is CFL 2.0 is great and you're going to get more money for the league and everything, but this is going to be your legacy and this is exactly what people are going to care about when your contract's up and whether you should be back in the league or not.
See what he's got. Let's
see what happens there. Do you guys want to talk a little bit more about the game itself? Because I thought Isaac Harker, the fact that the Riders only lost by 6, I thought was pretty good. The defense held up really well. Other than that one long touchdown pass to Brandon Banks and the punt return touchdown, they shut him out. They shut him down completely. Defense did their part. Didn't get enough pressure. Didn't get any turnovers or anything, but they still held him to, 23 points.
Yeah, and we gave away 5 points with Brett Lothar missing the 2 point afters and a field goal? Or was it 1 point after and a field goal?
One after.
The four points turns that last play from a 50-yard Hail Mary to maybe a 57-yard field goal for the win. And we've seen he's got the leg for it. We were in a position to win that football game with our third-string quarterback who's never had meaningful time against the team that everyone predicts to be number one in the East. I'm happy overall with the performance. Not the score, but there was a lot to come out of that game that gives you some hope for 2019, even without Zach Kolaros.
And definitely, there's definitely some hope. That's probably the best way going. This year, my confidence with Kolaros being out, I think I went them third, maybe fourth crossover. There's a lot of bright spots on this team. William Powell looked great. And that's
he was fantastic.
And that's why they signed him. Defense a little, still kind of look good, but not great. But I think that's a lot because they sat a lot of starters all the way through preseason.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this team will find its way, and just a matter of shoring up that quarterback position. Maybe a little short-term pain is going to help us in 2020.
And the team needs to build for 2020. There's no doubt about that.
I think that's the goal right now is as close as this team was to being there in 2018, so 2019, you're building for 2020 and that Grey Cup at home. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think you got to find out what you have with Isaac Harker. So Cody Fajardo will likely get the start here against Ottawa, but that leash has to be pretty short. If he's not performing and this is, his third or fourth year in the league, go to the 23-year-old, see what he has, see if he's worth developing.
My only hope is they don't do, again, what they did last year and have that short leash for both guys and keep bouncing back.
Don't bounce back. Pick one. Yeah.
If you don't want what Fajardo brings you in the first quarter and a half or however long you give him, go to Harker, stick with Harker, and ride him out because he looked like he has all the tools to be successful in this game. He's mobile. He's got a cannon for an arm. And he had a lot of accurate passes that he shouldn't really have been throwing that worked. I mean, he's got the game. I really wish they would just go to him to begin with, but it's probably smarter to give Fajardo the shot first. Give Harker a little more time.
Anything else from the game that you guys want to bring up? I thought KD Cannon was pretty good.
Oh, he's good. He's got speed. He's gonna be a star in this league. Hopefully we can keep him because he looks really, really good.
Much like the preseason touchdown drive, William Powell, we saw exactly why we signed him.
He's going to have to be a workhorse right now.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely going to be the relief valve on this offense.
He can catch out of the backfield. Average is, 5.5, 6 yards a carry? Hey, I'm all right with that.
And that's not bad with one of your starting linemen going out, Darius Shpladek, hurting his knee, and who knows how long he's going to be out there. He wasn't out there at practice on Sunday. Maybe they bring back Brendan Labatt off the 6-game early now. I'm not sure what they're going to do there, but
we went from
JSJ really coming back.
The depth is going to be tested. We'll see what we have with Shepley at guard and Schramm as the sixth, and if anyone else goes down from there, we went from having good depth to oh crap.
Two serious injuries will do that to you.
I don't know what they're going to do after that.
Actually, I want to bring up one thing. So next year, you're only allowed to rest two quarterbacks. What the hell would the Riders done if this was 2020?
Nick Marshall.
So it's going to be street ball?
Pretty much, yeah.
Literally street ball. It's like you just call him to play. Okay, you run a post, you run a flag, let's get this done.
It took one game to show why that rule is stupid.
Yeah, it's...
I mean...
They got to tweak that before next year.
I mean, you have to be able to, maybe you can only dress two, but if in an emergency situation, like you have the emergency goalie in hockey, maybe you bring the third stringer and
just put him up in the press box.
Right. And if the first guy gets hurt,
then he goes down there.
He goes down there and he's still getting his game check.
Yeah.
Just, I get it. Their idea is that are not paying a guy holding a clipboard six figures. So you got a little bit more money for everybody else, but there's a reason you have three quarterbacks on the roster. Although BC is going two.
There's no third stringer making six figures in this league.
At quarterback, you're probably in that
70
to 80 range.
But still,
maybe.
They're not minimum guys.
No, what the PA wanted is to get rid of that third string quarterback who's not doing anything anyway, bring in another position player, and then that person gets paid. I get why they're doing it. But I still think you need to have that third stringer, at least in the press box. And yeah, then he can be forced into action if need be. But the way the rule's written is going to be like it was in the 80s where Suter was our emergency quarterback if the two quarterbacks ever went down. Like, no. Like, that is going to be garbage. That's like Jose Canseco throwing in live fire ball games.
Positional pitching in MLB is the best. Maybe awesome. They need to do that in football more often.
Okay, if I'm going to do that, though, I'm throwing in, like, a defensive lineman.
Have, like, the round mound of touchdown. What was his name? Bruce Eugene? We had that 300-pound quarterback that ended up going down to the AFL.
Oh, the hefty lefty there?
Yeah, yeah.
God,
Bruce Eugene? No. Eugene. So there's Eugene in his name.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Round mound of touchdown. That's all I remember.
That's a big dude. One other thing we want to make a note of here, just before we move on, if you're planning on going to that Southern Barbecue cookout for charity last week at County Kane Park that we had Matt Dominguez on talking about it, it was rescheduled due to the threat of rain, which never actually happened in Regina, because of course not. It's actually going to be this upcoming Sunday, June 23rd instead, so a little bit more time to save some money and throw some money to charity there. So Matt Dominguez, Belton Johnson, find them on Facebook. They're super easy to find. Give a little bit of money for charity. Opening kickoff. Brought to you by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian Royal LePage. So we got to move on. Get to a couple other things here. Let's do this week's Underdogs Memorabilia Piffles Player Profile. Now, he left the team for one season, became an Eastern Division All-Star. Now he's back. Defensive end AC Leonard took time to speak with you, Steve, for this week's Underdogs Memorabilia Piffles Player Profile.
I'm here with defensive end and 2018 Eastern All-Star AC Leonard. AC, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you left to join Ottawa for the 2018 season, left as a free agent to come back here. Yeah. How easy was that decision for you to return to Saskatchewan?
I mean, it was a pretty easy decision, man. Once they hit me up during free agency, just knowing the guys I know here, just, you know what I'm saying, it feels like I'm home when I'm over here, man. It was pretty easy.
And Saskatchewan as a whole, what was it that brought you back here? You mentioned some of the players. Was it anything else along with the players?
Just everything about it, man. The fans, man. The fans are like none other, man. Just the family atmosphere around here, man. That's what really brought me back. You know what I'm saying? Just like some of the guys, like I was saying. You know what I'm saying? Just like I feel like I'm coming back home. I feel like I'm in my element. That's part of my decision.
So 2017, you find yourself on the defensive side of the ball. What was it like making that move from tight end in college to defensive end?
I mean, it wasn't too challenging, man. You know, I feel like I'm an athlete. I can do whatever on the field, man. It was just more so mentally, just getting, you know what I'm saying, the defensive schemes down and just some steps and stuff like that. But other than that, it was pretty smooth.
Ever see yourself making the move back to offense on occasion?
Nah, man, I fell in love with defense. That's why I'm going to be out for the rest of my career.
What is it you like so much about playing defense?
I mean, I just be aggressive, you know what I'm saying? I want to make my own plays, you know what I'm saying, and just bring my energy. I feel like defense fits my personality more than offense.
So you were an Eastern All-Star in 2018. Have you set yourself any goals for the 2019 season on what many think is the most dominant D-line in the CFL?
Obviously, I want to build up 2018 and just continue to get better. You know what I'm saying? I got some vets around me. That's great. Just continue to learn from those guys and be the best defense in the league.
What keeps you motivated on the field?
I say my kids. I got kids looking up to me. I got two boys and a girl. They really look up to me. So just see them smile and know that they're proud of their dad, man. That really motivates me.
And what does AC Leonard do on his off days? You're not in the gym. You're not working out. Not watching film.
I try to fish when I can. If I'm not fishing, I'm kind of just hanging out with the guys, playing video games. I'm going to start golfing this year. You know what I'm saying? Getting into golfing a little more. So, I mean, that's about it.
You got Netflix loaded up. Any show you're binging right now?
Oh, man, I've been on Animal Kingdom lately. It's a pretty good show. One of my guys put me on, so I've been watching that every day.
Hey, so we're going to throw a couple of quick answer questions for you. Cookies or cake?
Cake.
Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
What's for breakfast on game day?
Pancakes, eggs, and sausage.
Guilty music pleasure?
I like all kind of music, man. I don't really have a favorite, no.
And finally, cats or dogs?
Dogs, of course.
And you got an open mic to Rider Nation. Anything you want to say to them?
Rider Nation, thanks for having me back, man. I'm going to come out here each and every week and give you all I got.
So there's AC Leonard talking about coming back to the Riders. And, I mean, you talk to him as a man of kind of, man, a few words. He's all business, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want out of a guy. You want him coming in, and he's keeping his eye on the prize. But I'm excited to have him back. Him alongside Charleston Hughes with Evans and Micah Johnson in the middle. That's a terrifying D-line.
Riders going on to face the Red Blacks. Oh, do I sit back and yell at this time? Red Blacks!
That'll never get old, ever.
They need to, if they don't want it happening, uncapitalize your letters. Lowercase.
Even if they ever did, we wouldn't stop doing that.
Probably
at this
not,
point.
No. So Riders going to Ottawa this week on Thursday, 5:30. Time for this week's Tallgrass Apparel, engaging with the enemy. Janine Richot, Mouchoir Podcast. Janine, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex.
Now, the Ottawa Red Blacks last week beat Calgary in what was a stunner to pretty much everybody, and it was almost at the expense of your quarterback, Dominic Davis, who threw four interceptions but still came back and brought you home a win.
Yeah, perseverance is how I would describe Dominic Davis's performance last week. It was not good to see four interceptions, but what I really took away from that is how he didn't let it faze him and he didn't give up. And I know, Dominic Davis will tell you he is not happy with how he played. He said it in the media, but he still got the job done. And a lot of quarterbacks, including veteran quarterbacks, would not be able to come back from one or two interceptions, let alone five of them. So I was not impressed to see four interceptions, but I was impressed with the perseverance that he showed.
Now, you got to give some props to your own defense there as well, too, because, after all the turnovers and points off the turnover that Calgary got, really, I thought Ottawa did a pretty good job of stopping the Calgary offense.
Oh, the defense was... some of us have been saying that Noel Thorpe was actually the offensive player of the game. I mean, the way he runs that defense, Calgary got points off three of the four turnovers, 15 points, I think it was. And yet our defense was still able to contain a Bo Levi Mitchell offense. And that is a really incredible thing when you think about it. When you get four interceptions in a game, you're supposed to win that game. Our defense is just, I think it's a very underrated defense in this league. And one of the reasons why I think it's so underrated is because there's not one or two big names on that defense. They are just a hard working crew. And they all contribute in such an even-keeled way that I don't think our defense gets nearly enough props. But last year, they were quite strong towards the second half of the season, and they're continuing that early on this season.
Now, we'll talk about the running game a little bit here. Obviously, one of the turnover of players that you guys had in Ottawa last year was William Powell, and now he's in Saskatchewan. We'll get to him in just a second. But Moses Madu taking his place as a starting running back had quite the game against Calgary last week. Going up against what might be a possibly stronger defense here in Saskatchewan, what are you looking for from the Ottawa offense, especially with Moses Madu?
Moses Madu, I think a lot of us were wondering whether or not we would go Canadian at running back or if we would go with John Crockett, who we really saw bust out some pretty impressive runs during the preseason. And so, yeah, now we know we went with Madu, and anybody who doubted Madu probably no longer does, because he had a heck of a good game, and he had an O-line that really created some great opportunities for him. I think that, or at least what I hope I see, is what I liked about the offense in the game against Calgary is key mistakes were made at you know, unfortunate times, including receivers being responsible for one, maybe even two of those interceptions. But what I really liked seeing was how balanced the attack was. We used Moses Madu throughout almost the entire game, save the fourth quarter, and we continued to go to the air. So I expect that the offensive coordinating committee, as we're calling them in Ottawa, because since we lost Jamie Elizondo, no one person has really been named offensive coordinator. But I hope that we see a continued balance attack. So using Madu, but not relying just on him, and giving Davis a chance to continue to grow his chemistry with his receivers.
Now on the other side of the ball, William Powell coming back to Ottawa now with the Riders. He had a 100-yard game against Hamilton last week. Do you think that's going to be the prime suspect on offense for the Red Blacks to stop this week?
Oh, I think so. Nobody knows what William Powell is capable of like the Red Blacks know what William Powell is capable of. And that might be an advantage to Ottawa. We know him. We know his style. We've seen what he does to defensive lines. So I think we're probably more prepared to play against William Powell than we are against many running backs. So I do expect us to work pretty hard to contain William Powell. And especially with the quarterback system or the quarterback situation in Saskatchewan right now being a little bit iffy with Caleros being out, I think we have an opportunity, if we can stop the run, to really take this game.
And that unknown in quarterback, you have Cody Fajardo and Isaac Harker. You're going to see both of them up against Ottawa this week. Does that create some kind of worry for the Ottawa defense at all?
I don't think so. True that there's not a whole lot of film on quarterbacks who are newer in the league. I know Fajardo's been around before, but he just hasn't seen a whole lot of playing time. But, you know, I think Noel Thorpe will have his guys prepared for any situation. And I think, personally, I've never been a fan of a rotating quarterback system. Some people think that that might give you a bit more of an element of surprise, but I think if we stick to our defensive game plan, we're going to be okay against these new guys.
All right, Janine, prediction time. Who wins this game?
I always hate giving predictions so much. It's not because I'm superstitious. It's just because I hate being wrong. And I was wrong last week because I gave my prediction to Calgary. I think this is going to be a tough game for us. Number one, we just played a grueling match against the Grey Cup champions. And number two, 5 days later, we're back home and we're playing against Saskatchewan. So definitely the guys are probably feeling a little tired, even though it's early in the season. They haven't had much recovery time. That said, I feel good about our chances, and I'm going to give the edge to Ottawa in this one. I just think it's true that we don't exactly have the most seasoned quarterback either, but we do have a really strong defense. We do have an offense that is starting to find itself, and the veterans on offense can still make a pretty big difference, including Brad Sinopoli, as we saw against Calgary when we started to use him more in the second half. And our defense is just so solid that I think that they're going to run all over the rookie quarterback rotation that you have in Saskatchewan this week. So I'm going to give the edge to my team this week.
Well, I hope you're just like last week and you're wrong.
Fair enough, Alex. Fair enough.
Janine of the Mouchoir Podcast. Where do we find the Mouchoir Podcast?
Well, you can download our podcast on any podcast app, and you can find us on social media. We do not almost exclusively, we do Twitter, and you can find us at Mouchoir Podcast. You can also find my co-host Michaela at Shrides, and you can find me at Ottawa J-J-A-Y.
Janine, thanks so much for your time, and I'd wish you well this week, but I hope just a little bit less well for you.
Fair enough, Alex. All is fair in love and football.
Absolutely. And we look forward to seeing you later on this season.
Thanks, Alex. Take care.
All right. So we all saw Ottawa winning last week against the
Calgary Stampeders. Who saw that one coming? Raise your hand. Put your hand down, Steve.
I did not. I picked Calgary.
That surprised me, especially from a quarterback who threw four interceptions, looked pretty much terrible the entire game, still got the win, got his three rushing touchdowns, all goal line sneaks. But it was the turnovers. Calgary shot themselves in the foot, and Ottawa capitalized.
Ottawa's first game or win in McMahon.
Ever?
I don't like seeing Ottawa win, but I love seeing Calgary lose.
That was the first pre-Labor Day loss Calgary's had since 2014.
Good.
At home, yeah.
Let's
at
see
home.
More
Crazy.
Of them.
Crazy.
I love seeing Calgary at the bottom of the standings. It's where they belong. They're going to be garbage this year. No, they're not.
Well, I don't know. Levi Mitchell didn't look very good at all.
Yeah, give him a few weeks with his group of receivers. I'm sure he'll make something work.
They'll be just fine. They got to worry about injuries on their D-line with Junior Turner possibly out a while. So
and SA's banged up. It sounds like he's going to be okay.
Yeah. But looking at Ottawa here, this kind of looked a lot like the Ryder team.
Bad?
That played the Ticats. No, it was a quarterback who really didn't play that well, but did show promise and drove them down and got the game-winning touchdown and won in this case.
See, I don't agree with you that Dominique Davis showed promise. He looked bad.
Final drive, he drove him down and got the win.
Imagine being Jonathan Jennings on that sideline going, okay, three interceptions, my turn, I'm coming. Four interceptions, puts on his helmet. No, we're going to keep on, we're going to go with the hot hand here. What the hell?
What has he got to do to get the job? No, he looked bad all game. Yes, he had a great drive to finish off the game, and good on him. That was a good drive.
That's encouraging.
Sure, if you want to take just one drive out of an entire awful football game.
Have you ever watched the Riders once in your life? This is what fans do.
It's true.
One drive? Oh my God, start him.
That's a valid point. The problem is, no, I can't even argue that.
Fans only remember the last thing they seen. The Riders could put up 50 points if it's an interception the other way to basically seal for the other team. Oh, cut the quarterback, we're done. Like, that's fans only remember the last thing they see.
But my favorite part so far over the last 24 hours since that game ended is all of the fans sitting there commenting, where's the power rankings? Where's Ottawa this week? I'll tell you right now, guys, they're still in the bottom half of my power rankings. You don't like it, you can bite me. They looked bad. Calgary just looked worse. That was not a game that scared me in any sense going up against that team. I'm sorry. They didn't.
So looking here, are we looking for our defense to feast here then?
Absolutely. Because Calgary's defense isn't very good right now, especially with the injuries they face. We're going to be bringing in a much better group, knock on wood. I'm not even a little bit worried. If that's the best Dominique Davis can bring, bring it.
Okay, here's my question. Who's got the bigger parade route planned, Ottawa or Winnipeg?
Winnipeg fans are talking a lot of smack after.
Oh, Grey Cup, here we come. Are you kidding me?
But they've won three straight games. Two of them were preseason and don't count, but. They're the early season Grey Cup champs for the 29th year in a row. Talk to me in November because we all know what happens to that team. And yes, you can come and bring this back on me if they actually do manage to somehow miraculously win a cup.
They might have the best supplemental draft pickup of all time with Drew Lautarski.
I had him in fantasy.
So did
it was
I.
A good pick, yeah.
Actually, I picked him in my actual like keeper fantasy league because I knew he was going to be good this year.
Well, they don't really have much else on there. My favorite part, though, was all this talk all week of how good Lucky Whitehead was. One
he
catch
was
for 3 yards.
Bad drops.
Yep.
Yeah, he didn't look very good.
Dude is fast. Case in point.
That's all he's got.
Preseason doesn't matter. Show me when the lights come on.
Terrence Nunn.
And this is
right?
The guy coming with a Keith Thoston jersey, so he understands.
Right? I know better. I have learned my lesson.
Hey, even in Keith Thoston's regular season, he did good, and they still cut him.
That is true.
He was a beast. His first carry in the CFL was, what, 65-yard rush? How the hell that guy didn't get more playing time?
The best thing about now we're doing a Keith Thoston love fest here was when he ran over Pruneau.
Right?
Just destroyed him. It was great.
How does a guy who has 10 yards per carry average in the preseason not get a goddamn start? Don't get me started on him.
To rewind what you just said, because it's preseason.
Right? But usually guys who show that well in preseason get a chance to crap the bed in the regular season. He didn't. It was, what, week 16? He finally gets a start, goes off, and gets cut.
But the Riders were notorious for doing that with running backs. Look what they did to Stu Ford. His first like two, his first two touches were touchdowns. One was a 40-yard scramble, and the other one was a 30-yard catch. And then they sat him the following week.
I'm still peeved over that.
Keith, where did he go thing. After? Was it BC that he went to?
BC, yeah. Then broken leg or concussion. I can't remember like that.
Where is what is Keith Tosin up to these days? How old is he? Can he still play? Where is he playing? I got to get his jersey. Keith Tosin fan club.
So,
all right,
so back to the Riders and Red Blacks here. So what are you guys more intrigued to watch? The offense of this team, of the Riders, or the defense going up against Dominic Davis?
Both. I know that's a cop-out, but both. I want to see what we got with these young quarterbacks, obviously. This is going to basically be the first step of the future of this team now. There's no way Zach's coming back. I'm sorry. We've already said this. He's done.
And he'll be back.
Probably just because I said that. And and the defense. They did not look that sharp against Hamilton. Hopefully one more week in. They can hold Davis to 5 interceptions and maybe a loss this time.
I want to see Jonathan Jennings hit the field and the Riders defense feast on him just so we can stop hearing, the Riders should have signed Jonathan Jennings. Nothing pisses me off more. The guy can't even win a starting job in Ottawa where a guy who throws 4 picks is your starting quarterback. Better I'm in a rant mood today.
Better quarterback, Jonathan Jennings or Chris Trevler?
Damn. That is a good question.
I don't know Steve's love for Chris Trevler.
Oh. Davis did throw 4 picks, but Strebler sucks. But he hasn't really shown how much he sucks yet. There's still a lot more potential for him to go downhill. Better quarterback. Probably Alex, actually.
That's a really low bar.
Stand by my statement. That's my quarterback.gif. To answer your earlier question, I'm more excited to see this defense. I've stopped worrying about the offense. They're gonna figure their crap out eventually. I want to see this defense feast on Davis.
If they can stop Moses Madu, who had a great week against Calgary, then
does
Ottawa have anything else that you're really worried about?
No,
because outside of Brad Sinopoli, I couldn't tell you anything else they have on offense.
The rest of their offense is in Edmonton. Nothing on that team scares
Pauly,
me.
Don't they?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, they got Caleb Pauly.
He's on pace for a 1,000-yard season right now. There you 55 go. Yards, and that's all you need to do in the CFL to average in a 1,000-yard season.
Case in point why a 1,000-yard season doesn't matter.
And we had what, none last year?
Yeah.
Receiver Shaq Evans at 743 or something.
With
like
no
that.
Touchdowns.
But I think this game here, the running game, is going to be whoever has the better running game wins this game.
So it'll be William Powell versus the guy that spent years backing up William Powell.
Yes.
Behind an all-Canadian O-line. Which, you know, all respect for Ottawa for doing that. And they got a lot of young guys.
It worked for them.
It did it?
They won.
Depends on who you ask. Some of their fans weren't too happy with Madu's performance, even though he had 100 yards at half. Because he was rushing against
178 yards total.
Yeah.
I mean, his average wasn't great, but they gave him, like, I think it was a 4.8-yard average, but they gave him the ball 24 yards. He kept moving it.
I thought he was okay. I don't think he was great, but I'd like to see him stand up against a real D-line because Calgary wasn't pressuring the run. They were sitting back and making Davis throw. And look how that worked for them.
To be fair, I don't think anything will please the Ottawa fan base. I like some of them.
Henry Burris.
No.
Henry Burris pleases the fan base.
He'll turn that team around.
Yeah, again.
The Riders have the better running game, and they should have another good game from William Powell here against a defense who, again, I couldn't really tell you who's on that Ottawa Red Blacks defense right now.
Pruneau and...
Yeah, that's about it. Sherrod Baltimore.
Yeah, it's
Jonathan Newsom as well, too.
Yeah, he's there.
But I couldn't tell you.
Look at us. It took us a couple minutes, and we named 3. We're moving on up.
So, honestly, it comes down to the running game in this one, because I feel... In this game, quarterbacking is fairly even. I think we can kind of all agree on, because we don't really know what we're going to get from either team out of quarterbacking.
I'd agree with that.
Is this a must-win game for the Riders?
No.
No. They're still in a playoff position at 0-1.
Only one Western team won this week.
Two.
Two? So the second one.
Edmonton and...
Edmonton won. I forgot. Sorry. I was expecting them to lose that game, actually. Holy shit.
I
was like, Montreal almost pulled it off. I was like... Oh, crap.
Can we just say how nice it was to see Vernon Adams get a shot and do well?
He's a good, I don't understand. He's a good quarterback. He was a good quarterback with us, even though they never let him play.
He should have had a chance over Brandon Bridge from the start.
And he was good in Montreal. He was undefeated in Montreal until then he came here, and then they just, yeah, I don't, he's a hell of a quarterback.
I was really hoping they would win. Just I want that team to do good, except when they play us. But more importantly, I want to see Edmonton lose and all three of the big starting quarterback signings lose.
Outside of Winnipeg, no Western team looked good, mm-hmm. which is encouraging for us.
Oh yeah, playoffs are definitely with as big a question mark as our offense and our quarterback situation is. Playoffs are still a big reach.
I mean, it's week one. I mean, there's 17 more games to go, so it's so early to talk about stuff like that. So that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Early season MOP nominee? No, just kidding. Carry on.
Has to be Trevor Harris.
450 yards and almost lost. That's great.
God, Montreal sucks.
I was actually impressed with how they came back, because they were looking pretty bad there in the beginning of the third quarter and going into the second half, and they give them credit. They fought back and got turnovers and scored and made it a game, and they tied it with, what, a minute and a half left, 2 minutes left, whatever it was. And then Harris just had those two big plays
And won, but. And shout out to Rod Black for having the greatest stat of the entire weekend and letting everybody know that the guy who just coached his first game and lost is still looking for his first career win. The great things you can get from Rod Black.
I don't know, Dwayne Ford eating that giant burger at BC. he's the MVP of the week.
Three patties. Didn't have
chicken fingers. Strips, yeah, chicken fingers. Chicken
fingers. A hot dog on it.
Six. Bacon. No, three slices of cheese. Six slices of bacon.
Yeah. And $35. I think I saw. Oh no! With the fries. $30 was the burger they had at Jurassic Park in Regina. Mm. That thing was a beast. I don't know how much the outrageous stupid. Burger was.
Why is there a need for a hot dog on that?
Why not?
Because, I'll say it. Hot dogs are overrated.
You're stupid.
You're stupider.
You're right. Both stupid. You're hot right. dogs are amazing.
I like.
If you hot give dogs. Me the choice between
is a mini bologna, a mini bologna tube that you barbecue. That's all it is.
Steve, I don't see what the problem is.
Bologna sucks.
But hot dogs are amazing. You don't barbecue bologna.
Here's the thing. You're doing exactly what everybody else does as well. You are quick to confuse yourself with overrated and not good. I'm not saying hot dogs are bad. They're just not as good as everyone makes them out to be.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
You give me the choice.
They're overrated. Everyone puts them up on this big, giant, high pedestal.
Because they're great.
But they're really a middle-of-the-road thing. They're good. I like them.
Steak, hot dogs, hamburgers.
You don't want me to get...
Bro. Whoa. Out of my house.
Hamburgers, top. Steak, hot
dogs. No. How do you... Okay, if you don't have steaks at the top of your list...
Steaks are overrated.
Okay, now you out of my house.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I still like them. I love me a good steak. But if you get a good hamburger, though, oh my God.
A great steak is far better than a great hamburger.
Okay, here's the difference. The difference between a hamburger and a steak is...
One
steak,
is good?
Steak, basically, there's only one proper way to do a steak. Like, a really good way to have a perfect steak.
Well done. I'm kidding. That was for Amy. She eats her bologna.
What? With ketchup?
Well, no. And you married her?
What?
Nobody else would. It's good that she doesn't listen to the show.
And you can tell Amy does not listen to the show. If you want to forward her this clip.
Nice knowing you guys.
Yeah. But no, okay, there's only one real like great way to have a steak. Burgers can be anything. Burgers you can put like however you want. I can have a burger every day of my life and it would be different every time. Steak is a like nice medium rare steak with like baked potato, seasonable veg, I'm good to go. Burger.
You give me that every day of my life, and I am the happiest human being on the planet.
I agree with you on that. I'm just saying, burgers can be whatever the hell you want.
You can do so much more with burgers.
Hot dog is...
delicious.
A tube of meat on a bun, and then...
The best part is, I eat them plain. Nothing on the bun. Just give me a hot dog, give me the bun. I'm good.
Okay, so...
Do you eat them cold?
Of course you do.
Oh. And with that, this is the last Piffles podcast. It's been nice to the last like 3 years.
All right. Well, let's Let's get to our
pick. We haven't had a good food debate in a while.
Yeah. Let's get to our pick 'em. Week 2. There's only 3 games this week. Thursday night, Riders and Red Blacks. Sorry, Riders at Red Blacks.
Hang on, I'm just looking for my coin. I went 1-3 last week, so this week I'm just flipping a coin. Oh, I got this. Hang on.
I think the Red Blacks win.
Hey, Google. Flip a coin.
All right.
Hey, Google.
It's tails.
The Red Blacks win.
I'm going to be the homer. I'm going to Riders.
Lions at Eskimos. The return of the quarterback, Danny O'Brien. Oh, and some guy named Mike.
Yeah.
Eskimos.
Nothing rhymes with 0-2.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Lions will win that one. And Ticats at Argos. An early season battle of Ontario. That's
kinda, there only 3 games this week?
Nice. Yeah. I literally just said that.
Why? I don't listen to you when you talk.
That's fair point.
He has me muted on Twitter. He doesn't listen to you during the podcast.
What? You have Greg muted?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Ticats and Argos, we don't know what we're going to get out of the Argos because they haven't played yet. So I'm going to go with the Argos.
Ticats. What's the 4th game?
There is no 4th game.
There's no 4th game?
There's no 4th game.
Oh, weird. Why is there only 3 games so early in the season?
They have to do that to make 20 when you add that extra bye week in there.
But week 2?
Yeah.
You had a week 1 bye with Toronto. This is Toronto's first game.
Why don't you have 9 teams? There's always going to be a bye week. That's stupid.
No, well, some weeks there wasn't. You had teams playing twice.
Yeah, is it better than Toronto playing on a Monday? I like those games, by the way, because
it's more football.
Because then you got another day with football. Exactly.
Right? And now we have 3 games. This is garbage. Do better, CFL. I'm just kidding.
Where's that 10th team?
Suspend Simone.
Yeah, we'll see that what comes out of that, too. So we'll keep our eyes, on that.
That was
a
nice...
guy that you like, too.
I like Simone Lawrence as a person. As a guy who did that hit, he's an asshole. Sorry. We already warned people about the language.
Yeah.
It's fine.
A-hole.
Yeah.
Beep. Yeah. Boy, I can't wait to see that race with you and him now.
It's going to be me running away from him.
He's going to curb stomp you. It's going to happen now. Okay, well, we'll see what happens this week in the CFL, and of course, we'll talk about this more next week. That's going to do it this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're also on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can give me a follow at RealAlexD.
You can find me at SuspendSimone. No, at Safamod.
I wonder if there is an account. We should do a quick look on that.
Follow me at Greg on Sports, and as Steve signs up for it right now.
Instagram is at PifflesPod. Check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. And of course, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive here in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, which we are just finishing up right now, and Underdogs Memorabilia for their support to make this show possible.
Just signing up for that Twitter account.
Okay. Right. Make sure you follow at Simone, or Suspend Simone. Is that what you're doing? Suspend Simone. Well, we got to get out of here. Going to leave you some Tyler Gilbert, Ghost Behind Your Mind. The ghost behind your mind.